There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, mate. Unbeknownst to the listener, this is, I'd say, at least our third attempt at that sequence of hellos, which was okay.
We've still not quite got the basics right here, have we?
No, and it's not even our first podcast we've done together. We've done a whole series, and we've still not quite cracked it. But this is episode 4 of Friends with Friends. It's a podcast where myself, Dave, and this is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hiya.
We get our friends on to talk about their favourite episode of the 90s and early noughties sitcom, Friends.
Yeah, so far I've done my own favourite episode. Dave has done his own. We had our first guest last week, which was the wonderful Helen Monks. Dave, is it time to introduce our next guest?
Friend number two on Friends with Friends is the actor, comedian, presenter on Magic FM.
Thanks.
Thomas Price. Hi,
Hello.
Tom Price.
Hi, Dave Cribb.
Welcome, Thomas. Thanks
for having me, Pete. I'm delighted to be here. What an absolute thrill. What an absolute...
So welcome.
Can I just say that I do... My relationship with Dave, not you, Pete, but my relationship with Dave is very much built on working together. We produce comedy together. So this... Really, this episode should be called Friends with Acquaintances or Friends with Colleagues.
Friends with Colleagues.
Friends with Colleagues, really.
We're just on a lunch break, aren't we, from our...
that's what our career is. Our career is one long lunch break. And then
what a way to spend your lunch break, though.
Exactly. It couldn't get any better than this. I'm so excited. I can't believe. So to prepare for this, I had to watch the episode this morning whilst my wife was looking after our kids. I was in the kitchen watching Friends. She was livid and I was delighted.
Let's start, Tom, with your relationship with the programme Friends.
So I always liked Friends, and then I split up in 1998, I think it was, or 99 maybe,
with a girl called Rachel.
I wish. Now I split up with a girl called Lauren, and during that time, it was just before Christmas in 99 or 98. We don't need to know about that, guys. And WH Smiths are doing this deal where you could buy one VHS of Friends and get another one for free.
So many of the things you said in that sentence are really aged.
Badly. I know. I'm old, guys. I'm old. And as a result, because you could buy one VHS, get another one free, I bought pretty much all of Friends to date at that point, which is probably 4 or 5 seasons, and I watched them all intensely whilst mourning a relationship, and as a result that show imprinted on me emotionally and comedically as well. But basically it was during that sort of period of time that it became my favorite thing ever.
So it's a very kind of time specific thing for you.
Well, the beginning of Friends is a very time-specific thing, yeah. The moment when it all clicked in and I grew to love it. And then so that period from about 99 to about 2004 or 5, which is when I got together with my now wife, to be fair, when I was a bit single and miserable, I lent on Friends. It was a real life crutch. And I was, single bloke living in a pretty miserable bedsit in Camden Town. And kind of my only real friends at that time were Ross and Rachel and Phoebe and Monica. And like, honestly, it did feel like that at times. So I have a slightly unhealthy relationship with Friends, I would say. But everyone does,
but you're
right?
Okay now, right?
Everything's fine, guys. Yeah, of course. Everything's absolutely fine.
It's really good. It's really nice getting an insight into the mental state of stand-up comedians. And
I mean, we have, Dave, we have a joint bank account because we are financially in bed together for our business venture.
Do you actually?
Yeah, wow. We've got a business bank account together, and Dave's going to realise that I am a very, very vulnerable person. No, but I think Friends does that for a lot of people. I think that's why it's so successful, not just because of gags, but also because it does fill a bit of a hole for a lot of people. It
yeah,
does.
It's warm and it's friendly and it's relatable and it's kind of almost aspirational in some ways. Yeah. In that you want that gang. Don't
it's incredibly
you? You want
optimistic.
That part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the thing I love about Friends, and this is a thing that not many sitcoms do, certainly not many British sitcoms do this. People laugh at the characters within the show. Like Chandler makes a joke in the show that makes other people laugh in the show. Like, people do that in real life. They make a joke to make you laugh. In a lot of British sitcoms, there isn't much laughing within the show. Look at Fawlty Towers. You know, there's not much laughing within the show. Obviously, we're all laughing at home, but within the show, there isn't
much.
Yeah,
they're not having a good time in the show.
That's right. And in Friends, they're all having a lovely time.
That's a very good point, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that brings us on nicely to the episode we're going to talk about, Tom Price, your favourite episode of Friends, which is...
The one with the prom video.
The one with the prom video.
Sure. A classic.
Which is Season 2, Episode 14.
Got your little... have you got your little Wikipedia synopsis there?
That's literally exactly what I've just realised I don't have, but I'm about to get it up now.
Just logging onto the interweb as we speak.
There we go.
Here he comes. Let's see how good the broadband is here at Casa Crib.
So this is episode 14 of Series 2, the one with the prom video. And if you haven't watched it in a while, if you're listening to this, here is the official Wikipedia plot summary. After getting his big break on Days of Our Lives, Joey pays Chandler back with a check and an extremely tacky engraved gold bracelet. Meanwhile, an unemployed Monica is hard up for money. A home video from Monica and Rachel's prom night reveals that Monica was previously overweight and Rachel had a large nose. This is sometimes...
Does not make it sound funny, does it?
No, it doesn't. Rachel seems to have been stood up by her prom date, so Ross puts on his father's tuxedo to take her to prom himself, but Rachel's date shows up and they leave before she learns of Ross's plans. The video then shows a speechless and devastated Ross standing at the top of the stairs. The candor of Ross's heartbreak compels Rachel to kiss Ross. Now, I'm not sure that completely sums up the plot because it misses out a lot of the other stuff.
But also, if you want a job in TV continuity, I'd love it if they did that before each episode of Friends on E4.
One just said that exactly what happened.
If you just did that.
So let's start, shall we? So it's worth pointing out, normally what we do is split these up into like the three plots that are going on. This one, all of the plots kind of merge into one towards the end for the prom video. We'll come on to that.
It's almost like the writing is too good for your... oversimplistic way.
Yeah, I can't break this
down the plot.
Into
exactly.
A simple three-section podcast.
Yeah. Stop over-explaining Friends, Dave.
But this is one of the first episodes we've talked about so far where it doesn't quite follow that same shape of an episode, sort of, does it?
Yeah. No, there's not an A plot, B plot, C plot, and they all neatly resolve at the end. Like, for example, the thing with the bracelets doesn't really...
Nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's filler, basically. Yeah. The first 15 or 16 minutes, there's a lot of plot filler.
So there's two bits of filler, basically. There's the Joey and Chandler bracelets, and there's Monica not having much money. So let's start with Joey and Chandler, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
So this episode starts with Joey... realizing he's making a bit of money, and he gives Chandler a check and he gives him a gold bracelet, and Chandler hates the bracelet.
Yeah.
So far.
Does it brilliantly. Great clowning when he hands Chandler the bracelet and Chandler's like, "So it's so good, thank you." And then he puts it in that drawer, and then he just puts the chair in front of the drawer. It's just such a little moment, but so subtly done. And it's getting you can hear the audience are loving it. And then also, it's quite subversive because there's the joke about wanking. There's a wank gag.
Yes.
I when I was watching this episode, I texted Dave saying, "Oh my God, Chandler just said wank."
Yeah, he says, you're a wank.
I'm a wank.
Yeah, he says it in quite a strange... It's a strange way of using the word based on what we are used to with the word wank.
And have you heard Americans try to say twat?
They say twat.
They say twat.
Twat.
They can't say twat. And they've misused wank.
Yeah.
Really?
So basically, they need to stay off those. Those are British owned. It's a really eggy note.
But is Chandler saying it in the same kind of context that we would? Does he think it's...
No, he's using it... As a noun, isn't he?
It's like, I'm a wanker.
I'm a wank. It should be I'm a wanker, but I'm a wank.
Yeah, he needs ER on the end of it, doesn't it?
He needs ER.
He does need ER.
It was still in its heyday then as well. But he says I'm a wank, but then also there's the bit when he's got the bracelet on his wrist and he says, and Joey says, think what it'll do for your love life. And Chandler says that brilliant line, well, it'll slow it down a bit at first, but then I'll be good to go.
Once I get used to the extra weight.
Yeah, once I get used to the extra, like, that's a joke about masturbating.
Yeah.
3 minutes into the most successful American sitcom, certainly of that era, and here's a masturbating
This is
joke.
The thing that I've noticed about watching Friends back for this podcast, is it's very sexual and very...
Very sexual. Loads of porn. They reference porn all the time.
Yeah.
And we see sex as well at the end of this in the home... The end gag of this episode. So you've got your wank gag right at the beginning. Yeah. Right at the end of the episode...
There's a sex video.
Monica's eating ice cream and watching a video of the prom, and suddenly it cuts to her mum and dad making a little...
Which, can I point out, is the worst sex video I've ever seen in my life, because they're under the covers.
Yes, I mean, it's slightly unrealistic of you, Dave, to expect them to show explicit sex between those two actors.
But they do make an attempt to show something.
That's what I'm confused about. Why not just have the sound?
Yes.
Oh, Jack, oh, Judy. Like, it was very explicit what it was. But they decided to show the video, and it's just them completely under the covers. So it's like, why are Monica's parents filming themselves from above the covers? Like, what purpose at all does that serve their sex life if they want to watch it back later?
But didn't you think quite nice silk sheets?
Lovely.
I remember thinking those are the sort of silk sheets sexy parents
love their
have.
Bedding.
Great bedding.
High quality New York sheets.
Yeah, you know you've got sex parents when they've got silk sheets.
But let's come back to this bracelet. All right, so Chandler hates the bracelet. And there's a couple of things that happen along this way which sort of slightly jar with me. Firstly, we talked about this with Helen last week, and Helen has this theory that all the characters in Friends are awful human beings.
I don't like that theory.
Genuinely
I
horrible.
Her saying that. Yeah. I object to that. It's like she's offending my family when she says that.
But this does tie in with that, because all the friends mercilessly written, at no point did any of them go, oh, isn't that sweet of Joey? Like, what a thought, nice thought. And it's, I know it's horrible, but you know how you would react in real life. You'd go, that is disgusting. But isn't that so sweet? They all go, Chandler, you're such a dick for wearing that horrible bit of jewellery.
Important question. Would you wear that bracelet if someone bought you it as a friendship gift?
Actually, funny you should say that, because Lauren, the girl I split up with, which sort of began this whole Friends obsession, her parents bought me a watch, which was not as gaudy as that. Certainly wasn't as bad as that, but it was awful.
And did you wear it?
I never wore it, mate.
Never?
Never wore it.
Even when you went around to their house?
No, I never wore it. It was horrible.
Have you any idea what became of it?
It's in a drawer at my mum's house.
Right.
I revisit it every now and again and have a moment.
Does Lauren
it's my little shrine.
Does Lauren watch Friends?
I'd imagine she still does.
Might she at some point come across this podcast independently of anything else and then realise that you were a terrible, terrible boyfriend?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Still owns it, though. So that's something.
But then she can do the podcast Shit Boyfriends from the 90s. And I'll feature heavily in that.
Pilot episode of that.
Yeah.
And then, so the friends react quite oddly. And then there's a scene where Chandler tries to chat up a woman.
That's weird.
In the coffee house.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he says something and then, like, really awkwardly lifts his arm up as if to be you know, it's a really strange, like, you would never move your arm in that general direction whilst talking to someone. And then the bracelet comes on show. And she just walks, she basically goes, I've got to be somewhere, see you later.
Yeah.
And that is like,
that's weird.
A cruel move on her part. Like, she's literally gone,
she's judged a man.
Yeah, completely.
Based entirely
but
on
not
that.
Judged him. Like, I've had some terrible dates, right? I've been on a lot of terrible dates.
You should do a podcast about that.
Yeah, thanks, mate. even in the worst case scenario, nothing in common. Maybe I think what they're wearing is dread. You know, all of those things.
You'd never judge someone.
Superficial things. I still have that polite and courteous chat.
Also, it is quite ballsy to go up to someone, especially now, I think. Perhaps less so when this episode was around.
Yes.
Quite ballsy to go up to someone you see in a cafe and be like, hello, or at least try and strike at that conversation as she does. So to go from being so enthusiastic about talking to him to do that, to break that awkwardness, to suddenly being massively turned off by his bracelet, I think Chandler's quite unlucky that she's turned off him quite that quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But to look at it from a sitcom mechanics point of view, guys.
This is what happens, Pete, when you get an actor and comic in to do this.
Sorry to pick holes in your picking holes. They needed a really quick accelerant for that plotline of him hating the bracelet.
Yeah.
Right, and they probably had said, right, we've got 90 seconds, not even that. Not even 90 seconds to get that point across. They didn't do a bad job, and it was funny. And he has I am the founder of Wendy's line. Here's a question for you guys, as Friends fanatics. And it still annoys me to this day. There's a lot of references I don't get.
So that is a good
one there. He says, I am the founder of Wendy's.
Is it Wendy's or something? It's something like isn't that. It? Yeah.
And you always get a thing where you go, huh.
I don't know what that means. Yeah, there's a lot of references to, there's that episode where they're talking about Taco Bell and Wendy's a lot, and I don't know what's happening. And as you pointed out already, Tom, this bit of the episode just sort of fizzles away. Well, so then Chandler then loses it, buys a new one.
It's a nice idea.
Which is great. Buys a new one to replace it for $400 or something ludicrous.
Yeah.
And then Joey walks in, of course, and suddenly they've got two.
Yeah.
And that's it.
The end. That is the end of that plot line.
Yeah.
It also clearly means a huge amount to Joey because of the way that he reacts to Chandler not being keen on it. And he is genuinely overjoyed when Chandler buys him one in return.
Yeah.
It is nice. It's a nice touching moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Joey is so touched that he never wears the bracelet again in any future episode.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's
true.
That is true. It's gone, isn't it? It's in a drawer.
That would be a really good bit of prop continuity memorabilia to find. Yeah, then it's probably on sale somewhere.
Imagine in like season 8, suddenly Joey just popped up wearing his bracelet and never referenced it. It's like, we all know what that is.
How much would that freak out Lauren? Yeah. If I see Lauren again after 20 years and I've just got her parents' watch on, I should so do that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So that's the bracelet plotline. Then we have the Monica having financial woes. She's lost her job. She has that. There's that strange scene at the start.
Weird.
With just that, which.
Second scene up.
Second scene in the whole episode, and it's not really referenced that she's going for a job interview, or no. She's in there. There's a really creepy guy that starts talking dirty to her in a kitchen, and she walks out.
He's seemingly turned on by the prospect of salad, isn't he?
Mm.
Well, yeah, and just what sort of he wants that he wants her telling him what she's doing to it.
He likes dirty talk.
He likes dirty talk.
Yeah,
but again, this is where I think gladly society has moved on, because that really aged for me. I watched that bit, and I was like, that's. That's not okay. You're making a joke about a world, the tip of an iceberg, pun very much intended.
Well done.
That we now kind of really don't make jokes about that kind of
thing. No, it's very strange. But again, it's one of those little bits. There was at the start of the last episode we analysed, the very first line was Ross just saying, "Remember when I had a monkey?
Yeah.
What was I thinking?" And then nothing more was said. And it's that's sort of, this is the scene equivalent of that.
Yeah.
They sort of reference it once a bit later, but it's just like, it's fine, isn't it? But what a strange character, that guy is probably known as that man from Friends.
Yeah.
That's probably the most famous thing he's ever done as an actor.
So depressing.
I was in Friends once. Who were you? The weird salad guy.
I mean, I was in an episode of Episodes and I met Matt LeBlanc.
Oh yeah,
by that extension, I am going to be known as the guy who once spent a day with the guy who was.
What was
in
your
Friends.
Character in Episodes again?
I played a lawyer called Aaron.
Oh yeah, it's a good.
You
bit
weren't
of trivia.
Aroused by salad, were you?
That's right. I had to get Matt LeBlanc to tell me what he was doing to his accounts. They're dirty. You need to launder those. Launder those accounts.
Do you know? I just realised, Pete. Completely coincidentally, and I can't remember. I don't think Helen mentioned this last week, but both of our guests so far have both met one of the cast of Friends.
See, that's a dangerous precedent for the whole series.
It's really
you now
dangerous.
Have to keep that going.
Who had Helen met?
Helen was on Catlin Moran's sitcom, and she went on Alan Carr Chatty Man with Matthew Perry. But you've met Joey. We had Chandler last week, so we're going to have to.
Well, there's the bar for future guests. You must have met one of the six Friends.
We've got to up our booking game for next week.
Yeah, and also don't ask them the question until they're halfway through the podcast. And then if they haven't, just shut it down there.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
All the best, everyone. Goodbye. So Monica's got no money. Ross suggests that she borrows money off him, and then the parents turn up. Really, again, sort of a side plot.
Doesn't go anywhere at
Nothing
all.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
But it does give us the opportunity to talk about what I would say is the best character in all of Friends.
Jack Geller.
Jack Geller is the best character in all of Friends.
He turns up in Ocean's 11, doesn't he? He's in loads of things.
Yeah, I mean, he's in loads of... He's really famous, but for our generation, it's the same with a lot of things. I remember the first time I watched the London one, and Tom Conti was in it.
Oh, of course.
Tom Conti, to me, has always just been Emily's dad.
Yeah.
He's like a massively famous actor for so many things.
Yeah.
But for our generation, a lot of these people are like, they pop up and they're that bit part in Friends.
Yeah, it's so
true. There are a whole load of cameos in that London episodes.
Yeah. Richard Branson, to me, has always been the hatch guy.
I mean, I felt the same about Sarah Ferguson as well. I have no idea who she was until I saw Friends. Yeah, it's a really weird plotline again. But this is the thing about Friends, guys. Sometimes it can tread water if there's some fucking gold waiting for you at the end.
And Jack Geller has some great lines though, in that scene.
Absolutely,
he's
great lines.
Blustering into about Rachel's parents' divorce. He's like, I wasn't surprised. They've been unhappy for years. Yeah. And then there was that incident in Hawaii or whatever. And she looks confused and he goes, oh, I must be thinking of someone else. Maybe me. It's like,
maybe me.
So I just think he plays it so well. There's so many little bits where Jack Geller just really comes into his own.
But it shows we don't have to be moving that forward. It's like a lot of people now, there's a kind of technique when you're writing a sitcom script where they look at every line and say, right, how is this line advancing the plot? Mm. People have become obsessed with that.
Yeah.
And Modern Family is very good at that. Modern Family, when it's at its best, every line is pushing the action
forward.
The
agenda.
Yeah, but being funny. But actually, sometimes, I think we need to revert to that a bit, where there's just some loose, funny lines and it's just a bit more gentle, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the whole plot of this episode is so neatly geared towards that final bit, isn't it? Because, why do they have this tape? It's because Monica's parents have brought it over. Why have they brought it over? Well, Monica's short of money and they're there so she can ask them for money. Why is Monica short of money? She didn't get that job, which was right at the beginning. That whole episode is geared really carefully towards, we've got this VHS and we're going to watch it while we're all here, isn't it?
But here's the thing. A modern British sitcom would play that VHS 6 minutes in, 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
They go, here's our gold, guys. And it's like, no, you've got to wait for that.
Two-thirds of the way through, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 16 minutes, 17, 16 and a half minutes.
Out of 22.
It kicks in. Yeah, exactly. 16 and a half minutes out of 22.
So it's the last 5 minutes, basically.
Yeah, but it's incredible. And it's the play within the play, guys. Look at Shakespeare, the Hamlet or Midsummer Night's Dream. That's the play within the play. It's its own little sketch in its own right that stands completely alone. It's incredibly well done.
So the run-up to that is the Ross and Rachel continuing.
Yeah, so Ross is really weird in the cafe when a guy is talking to Rachel and he runs over and does that weird thing like, oh, is it my day or something?
Does that
imply she's a whore? I don't understand.
It is another example of Ross generally being absolutely horrendous with women, isn't it?
Every episode so far have discussed Ross's appalling, appalling behaviour.
Yeah.
Like, and this is another one. So it's been made very clear from the start, and there's problems with this, and we'll come on to that later, that Rachel is never going to get together with Ross. She's like very aggressively strong about it. You know, she's been saying, no, this is not going to happen.
She says it in that episode.
That's what I mean, accept it.
Oh, accept that,
But still, he is sat there with Phoebe, who does a terrible job of playing a good friend here, and he's like, I'm going to go over and save her. And Phoebe's like, whatever. Like, sure.
It must be said, by her standards, this is quite a weak episode for Phoebe. She doesn't really do much. Well, I guess she has the lobster moment.
Yes.
Which is a big...
She also has that great line about, I think I'm ready for my penis now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good line. That's true.
But to be honest, Phoebe's kind of on the periphery for the first almost couple of series, isn't she? It's only when the whole thing about her... Yeah, when she gets pregnant and there's the story about her parents as well. That kind of kicks in later, isn't it? At the start, it's not really about her.
Well, the first two seasons, she is just classic, quirky, weird character on the side, saying a weird thing every few minutes, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true. I think Phoebe would let Ross go and do that, because Phoebe lets anything go. She's quite a good character for that.
Yeah, well, when Ross then tries to explain the lobster thing to Rachel... And he turns back to Phoebe and is like, help me out here.
Yeah.
And like a normal friend would have gone, mate, what are you doing? Come and sit down over here, stop him back. And she goes, no, do the claws thing again. Like she's really into just like, keep embarrassing yourself, man. You keep going.
Oh my God, are you suggesting Phoebe has some alternative agenda? She just wants to... They're terrible friends, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm coming around to this theory. They're terrible people.
They're really bad people.
There's also, I think one of the things about this episode is that the whole lobster thing is one of a large number of cultural reference things that still exist today, which when you talk about relationships and stuff, lobster, because of Phoebe and what she says,
right,
you know exactly what someone means when they say he's a lobster.
It's Shakespeare again. Shakespeare invented loads of words. Friends has littered our language and lives with references.
But yeah, that is one of those things that's just sailed and sailed, isn't it? And people reference that.
There's
all
others
the time.
As well. There's a line when they see Ross in the video and Chandler says Mr. Cartel.
That
turns up quite a lot. There's a few others as well in this one episode. I can't remember off the top of my head. I should have made notes.
You should have made notes. P and I have made extensive notes. Mm. We're professional broadcasters.
Yeah, when you say we've made extensive notes, Wikipedia has made extensive notes.
So you mentioned that bit, yeah. So Ross goes up to her and it's slightly odd. Either at very best, he's like on... Because this is very, very much pre-Tinder and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a blind date thing. I think that's referenced.
That must be
at very best, it's he's been on a arranged for a blind date and he's gone up to her. But it does feel really like... he's implying she's a prostitute.
Yeah, it feels like he's implying she's a prostitute. It's not funny enough as well, and she's kind of the victim of it. And the whole thing is just, it doesn't really wash. It is a bum note. There are bum notes in Friends.
Yeah, massively.
Who knew?
But that's the way that guy reacts as well, is very much like the girl with Chandler, is he just immediately goes, cool, all the best, whereas what he probably should have done would go, do you know this guy? Is this? And she'd be like, no, don't worry, Ross, go away.
Well, if there's one criticism of Friends, it is that people outside the inner circle are... very much they're just there for plot.
Yeah, you know, just side characters, aren't they? Yeah, yeah.
Well, having said that, Ross and Monica's parents are amazing.
Yes.
There's also a lack of self-awareness with Ross here about the fact that what he's doing is weird. He doesn't go, all right, I just want to talk to you, I'm sorry. He sticks with it and he really keeps going with, I was doing you a favour because you wanted to get rid of him, didn't you?
He says that again. It's another line that people say, you're welcome. Yeah. That's a thing. That's become a thing. The memes that Friends generated. Yeah. It's so rich in them.
You're welcome.
But yeah, you're right. He keeps digging. That moment carries on and it's excruciating. But of course, that's the payoff, isn't it? We need to feel the pain here. We need to feel that excruciating moment and make it as awful as possible for Ross, because there is no laugh at the end of this moment. This is an unusual moment for Friends. There's no sting and there's no laugh. There's just a bit of...
He's just left disappointed, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It fades on to the next scene.
That's right. So in the production, there's like a mournful note because it's saying, oh dear, guys. It's like, it's that plot point thing of this is the lowest point, so we can only go get better from here. And thanks for putting a sting in there, Dave.
You are welcome. So all of this has brought us round to the prom video.
Yeah.
The prom video scene, the finale, they all sort of arrive. When I was watching this back, it was really like choreographed how much like on a journey they all are as characters in this episode. And they all arrive at the apartment at the end, ready for this thing to happen. Yeah. And that thing is that they find the video, which Jack and Judy have brought round. And they pop the video on, and then we play out this prom video scene.
Yeah, which is really well made. And obviously, the first thing you see is Rachel with her massive nose. When Chandler does a line with it covering Connecticut, you see Monica in the fat suit. This is the first time we're introduced to Monica in the fat suit.
Obviously, yeah, which reappears several times from that point on, doesn't it?
They come back to that. This is it. I think this is fat suit Monica at her best in this bit. And then you've got Ross with the moustache. You've got and his incredible hair.
And the opening pose he has when he first appears.
He's leaning against the mantelpiece, and that's when Chandler says, "Mr. Cartel." Well, hello, Mr. Cartel. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's so well done. It's just such extrapolating into their past from what we know about the characters now, and you go, "Yes, that's exactly what they'd have been like." And again, every time that happens in Friends, and it happens every episode until it starts to peter off in episode series 6 or 7, I think. Every time when we're on the learning curve, when we're learning more and more about them in those first 5 or 6 seasons. Every episode is an extra bit of sediment that makes you love them even more. That's why it's so genius. Mm.
Can we talk about Jack Geller's directing of the home video?
Yeah.
Because whilst I understand that it's a plot point and they have to show a lot of the things, there's one particular moment where Ross and Rachel are chatting on the video and it's hugely awkward. It's like really awkward small talk. Ross looks at like hooking up the back of her dress. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he's sort of looking at her a bit pervily. It's all. And in the meantime, we are led to believe his dad's just there with a camera, just filming him, going, "This is actual gold. Your teenage son is trying to hit on a girl."
Yeah, but don't forget, you're in the days of camcorders when you did just film everything.
But would you film that?
What, you're...
So in the situation was you're at a house party and your kid is trying to chat up a girl? Would you just go over with a camera and just stand there and document the whole thing?
Don't forget, Ross and Monica's dad is one of the best characters in it for precisely that kind of thing.
You'd be more inclined to film a moment, wouldn't you? You'd be more inclined to film them leaving the house rather than bad flirting happening between two of them.
I think this is because you guys are used to... I can remember when we had a camcorder and you'd put it on and you'd just leave it on. You just film everything. That is quite accurate. Whereas now with phones, obviously, you're constantly stopping and starting. Your camcorder, you crank it up, you put it on, the tape would go, and you'd leave it on for an hour, and you'd get everything. That's definitely much more how it used to be.
Really?
Yeah.
This is good, Pete. This is why we got the older generations on the podcast.
Bastards, you fucking bastards. I should say I was 7 when I was watching this.
Yeah. So it all builds up to this point, doesn't it, where Ross... goes to get changed, he puts on the tux, he grabs the flowers.
So they're getting ready for the prom, they're waiting for Chip, who's Rachel's date. He's not turned up. You've also got Monica's got her boyfriend, who's quite fat, which is
just
hilarious.
Just a comical fat man.
And he gets an amazing laugh, and he goes, I'm going to kick his ass! Yeah. That's such a great moment, because Chip is late, that's really funny. So then Ross and Monica's mum says, why don't you go and get ready, and you can go to prom. You're a college guy, Ross. Yeah. That's what Ross's dad says. Go and get ready for the prom. So Ross goes upstairs, he comes back down the stairs, lovely little touches, it's those little moments, he grabs the flowers from the vase on the shelf upstairs, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just beautifully thought through. Whoever thought that through, that's based on real life. You know this must have happened to someone because it's so beautifully built. Mm. It can't be fictional. This must have happened to one of the writers. And just as he comes back down the stairs, you hear that thing, you hear Ross's dad go, oh no. And then you're like, oh God, what's happened? And then you see all four of them leave, Monica and Rachel with their guys, and off they go to prom night. And then it cuts back to the flat. Ross's little face. Oh, it's just beautiful. Everyone's silent. Mm. And Ross by this stage is at the door.
He's walked over to the door because he didn't want to show this video, doesn't he? He knows this bit's coming.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's turn it off.
I mean, it would be completely mortifying if you knew how that video ended and you knew that everybody was about to realise it. And obviously it does end up very well for Ross, but it kind of is the moment in Friends where it becomes clear quite how important Rachel has been for years and years and years to Ross. And it's built to this. So that's kind of why he looks so devastated, because it means so much to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And this is the point in Friends. This is why Friends is at its best now, because they're all single. Mm. They're all looking...
Yeah, true.
They're all single, but they've all got each other. And what the thing about Ross and Rachel that's so tantalising, obviously there's the will they, won't they, and it's on and off and stuff. But what's so tantalising is that they don't just find a relationship that's a silly relationship with, a Janice or Tom Selleck or something, which I think is... Actually, maybe Tom Selleck isn't a good example because they do seem to quite love each other. But they don't find a relationship that has much meaning. And then you've got this relationship in the middle with Ross and Rachel where it has real meaning because it goes back so far. It goes right... You're right. It goes right back into their history. And she was always the one for him. And he for her, clearly, with that kiss at the front door. They have chemistry,
right,
guys.
So they do, right? So this is my main takeaway from this whole situation, right? So if you're Rachel watching that video, I understand that it's a nice gesture. Mm. But how has that swung her from, I will never, ever date you, ever, to watching this thing where, let's be honest, it's not that... It's not that big a gesture from Ross, right? It wasn't his idea. His mum and dad forced him to do it. Yeah. They were like, he's like, no, no. They're like, go on, go and get changed. Yeah. And all Ross has done is put on a suit 15 years
and
ago.
Grab some old flowers.
Grab some flowers he hasn't bought from a vase and stood at the top of some stairs. Yeah. And 15 years later, however long it is, Rachel's gone, oh yeah, I do love him.
Yeah,
and
forgives 20, him for everything.
21 minutes earlier, she was like, we will never be together.
It's a pretty hard sell, isn't it?
Yeah, when you really...
15 years ago, I did something quite nice. Yeah. I think we should be together.
Exactly.
But I would say, in countering that, it's because of it reveals his character. It reveals what a sweet guy he is. What a sweet... Well, I was going to say thoughtful, but you're right. He did do what his
mom
said.
To me, it reveals what a sweet guy he was before he grew up and became Creepy Ross.
He's basically Creepy Ross. Yeah. I hadn't realised until listening to the last episode of this and watching this episode... Yeah. Going, oh yeah, Ross is a bit of a
total creep.
He is a bit of a creep. He's a bit of a loser. It's got to stop, Ross.
He's mad.
He's also at a point here where his relationship with Rachel is such that it needs some grand gesture to bring it back, because he's done that list where he says that she's only a waitress or something like that, isn't it? And it is this gesture that's caught on camera, fortunately for him, so many years before, that completely turns it on his head, and all of a sudden, right, now we're a thing.
What I want to know, though, is what Jack Geller thought was going to happen in the video. So play it forward, and Chip hasn't turned up. All that's really happened is Ross and Rachel have had a really awkward conversation where it's clear they don't really get on.
Ross really fancies
her and she thinks he's a massive dork. So actually, if he turns up in a tux with flowers, isn't she going to be like, oh God, this is so awkward.
Yeah.
This is horribly embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend's brother here and his parents are here. I do not fancy him. He looks awful, but he's now in a tux and I've got to go to prom with him.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? I suppose it... Well, yeah, there you go. Maybe...
It all ended for the best,
It all ended for the best, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, we got the other thing I should mention. We got to see Ross's music. It's the first reference of Ross is going to just hang out and work on his music.
That is a really nicely seeded thing, isn't it? Because actually, when it comes back later and Ross is
playing... Yeah, they're in a band, aren't they? Yeah. With Chandler at uni and stuff.
Oh, that's amazing. Should we do the quiz?
Come on, test me on this. It's like 1998 all over again.
So this is the lightning round, another reference pulled from a Future Friends episode. We asked you five questions to test basically your attention to detail, to the tiny little details that you might not have noted down mentally when you've been watching this back.
Okay.
Question one. At the start of the episode, Joey gives Chandler a check.
$816.
Oh!
What is it?
$812.
Oh, come on, $4
I've
out.
Some form of point for that.
We had a couple with fractionalised points on last week's podcast. We will not be offering half.
Do we outrule them? We outrule fractionalised points, didn't we?
Absolutely. There's no time for that, is there, Pete?
I'm never going to forget that for the rest of my life.
$812. Well, do you know what? So I did a friends quiz. This is one for a future episode, I'm sure.
But I'm not listening because I'm too cross about it.
I did a friends pub quiz with four of my friends who were all sort of on this level of knowledge.
Right. On all the episodes.
Yeah, all the episodes. It was a proper pub quiz with like 200 people. We won. And we only got three questions wrong out of 75
God,
or something.
That's insane.
But one of them was Chandler moves to Yemen. What's the fake address he gives to Janice?
Yeah.
Do you know this, either of you?
It's something Yemen Road, Yemen.
Exactly.
I can't remember the number.
Exactly. And we guessed 17 and it was 15.
Oh, no.
They didn't
give you the point.
No, absolutely not, because it's wrong. 15 Yemen Road, Yemen. And I've never forgotten that.
Oh, God.
So it will. You'll remember that. Road, completely Yemen. Fucking useless fact for whenever the rest of your life.
Whenever Yemen turns up on the news, and it's frankly usually miserable, I always just do a channel and go, Yemen.
Yeah, I know. They've really made Yemen into a comedy country, haven't they? Like, it's astonishing.
Do you want your second question? Okay.
Come on.
What does Chandler say he's going to buy when Joey pays him back?
A pony.
Correct!
Oh, yes!
There it is. He's pulled it back. Go on. Question three.
Dave just did a face for me then, Pete. Dave did a face. He knows I'm not going to get this right.
You might. Ross takes a call from a guy called Casey, who's looking for Rachel.
Yeah.
And he makes two references to very
I know. And the Sunshine Band.
Is one of them.
Oh.
What's the other one?
I didn't get it
no.
at the time, because it's like one of those American references I didn't get. All I can think is Affleck now.
So he makes references to two Casey things. What are they? Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Casey.
Would you have got this, Pete?
No, I don't think I would.
No, I
think I would have got Sunshine Band, but I don't
know like
the other one.
Donovan or something?
No, it's Casey at the Bat.
At the Bat. What? Do we know what that is?
Yeah, it's a baseball poem written in 1888 by Ernest Thayer.
Fuck you, Ernest Thayer.
I'm just on Wikipedia here, guys.
Fuck you and all the ice cream you wrote.
Casey at the Bat. I mean, mad. That is a real... Do you want to hear a bit of Casey at the Bat?
The outlook wasn't brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Until 9 that day, the score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And
what is happening?
And Burrows did the same.
That's Casey at the Bat, recited by DeWolf Hopper in 1920.
Wonderful.
They should have used those.
Nice,
they should have used those as the lyrics.
Yeah.
The Friends theme tune.
Wow, this poem's really long, guys. It's so long. It's about Casey at the Bat. Anyway, so there you go. So that's
only got one out of three.
One out of three. That's tough.
Question
mate.
Four: who is the reference on Monica's CV?
Oh, Chandler Bing.
It is Chandler Bing.
Correct.
That is also something I think a lot of people would do with their friends. Like, I need to get this job. Please, will you be my reference?
I've done that before. I was my friend Rick's reference for a number of jobs for about 3 years. Based on the fact that when we were 12, we used to work at the local football club together in corporate.
Did you ever get the call?
I don't remember, actually, but I remember being on a lot of his CVs. I've got two question options for question five.
If I have both of them and get both of them right,
okay,
and then,
John,
and then try,
okay,
try and redeem myself.
This is what,
that's what you should do. If you get half, instead of giving half a point, you should say you get an extra question at the end
a bonus
to try and
question.
Redeem yourself.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
a redemption
your reward,
question.
Then.
Thanks, guys.
So, here's the first of my two options. Jack Geller is watching tennis for reasons...
Steffi Graf.
Correct. Who does he think has quite a tush?
Again, not a line you put in a sitcom these days.
Really mad. And also, I just love the fact this happens very occasionally. Like, when do they ever just sit and watch tennis?
Yeah, but also, that annoys me that bit because his wife says that great line, oh, look, that ad you like
there's
is
a
on.
Commercial that makes
and they
you
sit
laugh.
Down to watch it.
Yeah.
And then Ross and Monica have a little chat, which is like 5 seconds long. Yeah. And then they go back to them and they're back at the tennis.
Yeah, I know.
So that commercial was not really there.
Well, it might have been, mate, because American commercials are mad. If you ever watch like American football, they like any tiny break, they're like, throw a 6 second commercial. It's just like, buy a thing, the end.
It's like that when you're watching TV there as well. There's suddenly like an advert after the program started and then 10 minutes in and then again just before the end.
They're almost subliminal, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just chucking them in. And this is my second question, and this has actually got a bonus point option. Ross is sat on the stairs in the prom video playing his keyboard. What song is he playing? What's the song called, Tom?
Is it...
There's a number of different options, and I'm looking for the original.
Yeah, not the Eric, the
not the Crazy Frog.
The Crazy Frog. That's exactly. Well, I know that obviously had an original version before the Crazy Frog, but to me that is just that tune. The Crazy Frog. Yeah.
Is it?
I will accept the film that it's the theme of.
Oh, something in the 80s.
Correct.
Miami Vice.
Beverly Hills Cop. It's the song Axel F by Harold Faltermeyer, a theme tune to Beverly Hills Cop. So,
you going to play us a clip of that as well? Or
absolutely not, my friend. We'll play out the podcast, but no, we won't. So there you go. Well, I mean, I'd say that was a decent showing on the quiz.
Thanks, guys.
It's not, we have already discussed that the leaderboard is more of a figment of our imaginations.
Well, because to keep a leaderboard, one of you would have to do some work.
One of us would have to keep a leaderboard.
It's not going
to
happen.
No.
Not going to happen. So that's fine.
So let it be said, you're on the leaderboard.
Thanks. Absolute privilege. Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
You're so welcome.
I can't believe you've built an entire central perk set just to make this podcast. So much expense has gone into this. It's incredible.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Dave paid thousands for that sofa. Yeah,
he really did.
That is it, guys. Friends with Friends, episode 4. We will be back next week with another friend to talk about their favourite episode of Friends. Tom Price, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Absolute pleasure.
Speak to you next week, Peter.
Goodbye.
So that was Tom Price talking about the one with the prom video. Next week's episode of Friends with Friends will feature a friend and a sibling of the podcast. Sarah Cribb, my sister. Hello, Sarah Cribb.
Hello, Dave Cribb.
We look forward to welcoming you on our podcast next week. But could you tell us the episode which you will be talking about?
I will be talking about the one with the lesbian wedding.
The one with the lesbian weddings. If you want to go away and watch that in preparation for next week's episode of Friends, then please do. It is a bloody corker, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, it's an episode that I'm not massively familiar with from memory, so I'm looking forward to going back and watching it.
That'll be next week. Friends with Friends. All the best now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.